All right, we're continuing our study in the book of Romans with Romans chapter 10. In the last chapter, Paul had really hammered home the issue of God's will prevailing over man's will and man's works. And the predestination and how God really is in control. I mean, God is in control. That is how all things work to good for them that love God, because God can make even the worst circumstances, like the Israelite in captivity to the Egyptians, work for good in the end for them. Anyways, even the wickedness of Pharaoh. So anyways, chapter 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. Wow. Now I read that. Now Paul's talking about Israel, and he's going back. You know, remember he said, my conscience bearing me witness, I have continual sorrow and heaviness in my heart for Israel. Honestly, I feel this way about American Christianity. My heart's desire and prayer for Christians in America is that they might be saved. And I bear them record that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. And they're ignorant of God's righteousness, and have gone about to establish their own righteousness. Well, how is that? Well, because the idea of many in Christianity of what righteousness is that God looks at them while they continue in sin and declares them righteous anyways. And they get the term, I've heard it talked about, you know, a lot of the Reformation teaching, sinner saints. Etc. They're ignorant of God's righteousness. God's righteousness is perfect. And see, and they think, well, you know, okay, well, so they'll go out and try to perfect themselves. But they go about trying to do it, again, they go back to doing it by the law. Whether it be with trying to have some very simplistic gospel where it makes your works so minimal that it seems like, well, it's no work. Oh, I've got to accept Jesus. I mean, though we have to accept Jesus, just like we have to fulfill all the other forms of righteousness. But that is not how we curry favor with God. That is not how we enter into grace. We enter into grace very simply by this, by God. Before we're born, he knows us ahead of time. That's the one I'm going to have grace on. That's how you enter in. See, there's no human activity, no human will involved. It's completely driven by God. That's the truth. Okay? And see, people don't submit themselves to the righteousness of God because they don't believe the righteousness of God is attainable. Because people have tried and failed. And so then they look on that and they say, well, people have tried and failed. So I guess it's impossible. Right? But in order to obtain the righteousness of God, we have to submit ourselves to it. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You have to be willing, you know, like for Abraham to have the son of promise, Isaac, he had to submit himself to believing that Sarah was going to have a child. And the picture of going after establishing your own righteousness were the attempts made with Hagar. So, verse 4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. It's the end of the law. There is, you know, and people still try, they're like, oh, you got to obey the Sabbath, you got to obey the... No. No. I do not seek to justify myself by looking at the rules. Though those do, they tell you when you're doing wrong. You know what I'm saying? But you take the whole counsel of God. The reason I don't hold certain days in special honor is because Jesus showed a certain lack in that department. I mean, in the New Testament, it is clear that these honoring of these days and stuff is not the righteousness of God. Not anymore. That's legalism. On this particular day, I'm going to exhibit extra holiness. I don't have any more holiness to do than I do every day. You know what I mean? If I'm not doing it all every day, it's hypocrisy for me to just try to show a little extra on a particular day. You know what I mean? Like, well, throughout the week I'm a sinner, but on Sunday I'm a saint. Or on Saturday. As if the particular day would help you. To when you seek to do it by the law. Christ is the end of the law. The law is done with. All the law can do is witness to your righteousness. That's it. It is not going to accuse you. Here. Verse 5. For Moses, and why doesn't it accuse you? I said that now. Why doesn't it accuse you? Because if you obtain the righteousness of God, there's no law that can say anything against you. Because Christ is judge. We read that back in chapter 7, 8, somewhere around there. For Moses describeth the righteousness. That was 8, because who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God. It's Christ that judgeth. Yea, that is raised from the dead. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. I mean, if you do the things contained in the law, then you will live. But the righteousness, so this is like a threat. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend to heaven? That is, to bring Christ down from above. Or, who shall descend to the deep? That is, to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is, the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. Now, people think, okay, that if I believe, then that's righteousness. It's like Abraham. Yeah, he believed and it was imputed to him for righteousness.